The following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
Clock. Now, True Wealth, presented by Little John Financial Services. Here are David Littlejohn and Katie Shook with True Wealth on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Oh, yeah. Time for the Drew Wells Show.
What?
I know. All right, all right.
Thank
it's time
you.
To go. We're
Where
doing
was
the Drew Wells Show.
McConaughey
Ladies and gentlemen,
entrance.
Welcome to the best Tuesday you've had all week and the most famous show you're going to listen to this hour. Because you don't want to be anywhere else but right here for the Drew Wells Show. I am your host, Dave Littlejohn. In studio with me
is a bunch of people.
Well,
Katie Shook.
Katie, and I do this from time to time. You know what? Because nepotism totally works. Joining me, my kid brother, who happens to know a thing or two about the financial world because I won't say our parents had anything to do with the financial world. So there's no like apple falling by the tree thing at all. Just call it, overlapping Venn diagram of financial resources in our family. How about that?
That was a really complicated way
Scott,
to introduce
Scott, welcome to this is my brother Scott Littlejohn.
You got to stop
hey,
referring
everybody.
To him as your kid
yeah,
brother.
Thanks.
You
nice
make him
the,
sound
kid
like
brother
he's
part.
15. Like he's not a Doogie Howser.
Although I do look a lot younger and better looking, so I mean, I'll take it.
Although the hairlines right. are the same, right? I don't know.
Encroaching?
The encroaching yeah. is the lucky yeah,
that's,
nice
that's,
feature.
I tease about this one, right? But that's the one thing that, you know, a lot of go, oh, your hair's thinning this out. Nope, I look like Eddie Munster. Pretty soon my eyebrows and my forehead are going to grow together. So
I like to show off my old license and my new license because they do look quite similar, even though they're 8 years apart.
You do not age much. It's true. You need to get in the sun more.
It'll Which hit is, me all at once. Being in Oregon, it's kind of nice to have that. You know, I'm not made of leather yet, but
well, but
it's
I was
coming.
Gonna say, there's a weird thing about like when you have children and they're little, and then all of a sudden you look at your license 10 years later after children, and you're like, like you still have littles. Give it another 5 years. There'll be some other lines and stuff that show.
Oh, no,
up.
I took a headshot this week. Mm-hmm. You know, for marketing purposes, I had to get my vanity shot in there, and I've got a really too good a camera. Because I did see some of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's like,
there.
I need a softer lens right now.
Wait, soften that up.
It's like, no. Don't get the 1 megapixel.
Yeah. Hey, you know, you use your phone and you use all those nice features and it does a lot of favors and then you get out something for real and it's like, whoa, okay, that's really me. Okay.
Oh, I was going to say, pull the Marilyn Monroe cheesecloth over the lens, right? Like, let's
yeah.
just make it look a little hazy.
Or the,
let's soft out those
Elizabeth
lines
Elizabeth Taylor white
the
diamonds.
White diamonds are on their way.
That was the spoof commercial on Saturday Night Live where it was so hazy you couldn't recognize any of the actors.
Oh, no,
it's just, you know, like a big shower room in there.
Just everything was fine.
These have always brought me luck.
It's funny though, like for the most part, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but like I don't feel necessarily older than my 20s most days. I think maybe more mentally than physically, but then all of a sudden you take a picture, you look at something and you're like, oh yeah, nope, not there anymore.
Well, I mean, you guys deal with it every day. I mean, time horizons is part of the conversation with
totally.
Finances. It's part of the conversation on what I do. I'm mostly insurance based. David and I have worked in the, I guess, professional service realm for, gosh, I've been about 13 years now, Dave. Where are you at?
Yeah, I've completed 20 years. I'm rolling into the 21st year.
Oh, man. So yeah. He's doubling up decades at this point. But one thing
so
as
he
far
just made
as,
you sound really old.
I know. Well, the transition of
start
timeline.
Start in your early 20s, it helps.
That's one of the reasons I'm here is the timeline transition is folks getting older and moving into the Medicare world.
Yeah, so we're going to totally talk about some key things today. If you're wondering, why is my brother here? Well, it turns out there are windows when you can talk about things, and we're into October. That's a magic time frame, okay?
It's so a busy time frame.
It's a magic time frame if you are eligible for Medicare. And so we're going to talk today. Today's show, we're going to focus on, no, not politics. No, not the markets. We're going to talk about the protection part of the equation, right? We talked about financial plans before, and the planning comes in these stages, right? There's take an inventory, look at cash flow, set goals, design with the end in mind, so sort of reverse engineer your strategy, but then you have to take into account the risks of derailing your plan. And there's only three things you can do, and there's actually only two, really, when it comes to risk, right? You can either ignore it, manage it,
or transfer it. Wow, right. I've hung around you a time or two.
Yep. And so, and guess what? You know what ignoring it is? It's just managing it really badly, okay? Because you're still keeping the risk. You're just not doing
it. Yeah, no decision
Someone else
is...
will manage it for you if you ignore
or it. Or it'll manage you, right? So part of why I wanted to ask you here, Scott, today, of course, is because Medicare is going to be really relevant. But there's something else that I think needs to be on people's minds. And it's really relevant because of recent history in our area, but in Oregon in general, and that has been, there's been some catastrophic losses as a result of forest fires.
Oh, Pacific Northwest, or actually just
the West Coast.
Pacific, the whole West. Like,
there's,
it's been rough. I've had two clients, you know, I do personal lines insurance as well. I've had two clients lose their home during this wildfire time, and it's been a, it's obviously not a conversation you ever want to have with your clients when something like that happens.
Yeah, it's tough. It's very tough.
Thank the Lord they actually did have insurance, and it seems to be going according to plan. But yeah, a lot of people going through a lot of tough times out there.
Right. So what I'm going to – I want to talk just briefly about some of the elements there. But for many, remember, this is the worst example, but it's so real. The time to buy insurance is before the house burns down. Right? You can't buy it after. But here's the kooky thing.
Or while it's burning.
Because I can get a couple calls like that.
Can we talk about that really quick? I'm sorry, David, I don't mean to derail you, but people call, like, all of a sudden there's a fire in their backyard and they're like, hey, by the way, can I double my insurance right now? And what is the answer to that, Scott?
It's pretty much a hard no. It's
And they're going,
try.
But my house didn't burn yet.
And even if they're able to get it through there, there's typically an investigation that goes along with
there
it.
Yeah, there could
the
be a clawback, right.
And even if you're able to technically get that in and something happens into this into the computer system of sorts that it goes through, it doesn't guarantee that that's actually going to be worked out.
Gotcha. Well, here's
your mic wasn't
and here's why.
That's why he was pointing at
right?
you.
Here's why. Yeah, we're just going to bump your mic a little.
Oh, bump me up.
What's going on here? Keep in mind what I just said, and this will be relevant to Medicare too, because the idea of a pre-existing condition, you've heard that discussion. We'll touch on that briefly today. The idea, though, that you can sort of buy something after the damage has occurred, that doesn't work by definition, okay? And it's because insurance is all about the risk in advance. If you buy it after the event has occurred, that's no longer insurance. We call that scamming. Right. I mean, that's fraud.
That's fraud. Yeah.
Yeah. Or it's not insurance. If somebody would let you do it, you can't call it insurance. That's for darn sure. Right.
Oh, definitely.
No, that's called payment plan. Yeah. You're on the payment plan now to try to.
You know, I'd love to bet on green when it hits on the wheel after the fact, but they don't really let you do that at the casino either.
Yeah, they don't. And there's so let's talk a little bit about the very fundamental basic concept. And first of all, why is insurance talked about in the financial realm? Right? People, I swear, folks think that they are being sold insurance. And like, insurance is the least sexy thing in the arsenal for our firm. It is also perhaps the most essential.
Well, right? And I will say, I'm sorry, I know I totally cut you. Here we have Scott in the studio and I'm speaking on the microphone, but like when I was teaching financial peace, I think the hardest thing about insurance is a lot of people look at it like, oh, I'm going to make all these payments and I'm never going to use it.
Oh, yeah,
right?
No
and that's
fun.
The mentality
yes.
going
no
into it.
There's no frills with insurance. I mean, let's just face the truth here on this. I mean,
it's
tough
investment.
Because you see the commercial and they make it look not even really cool there, honestly. They just make it look funny. But one of the things that people need to, you know, just to quickly brief on this fire situation people went through. You know,
right.
When it
right.
comes to a homeowner's policy, you know, I always give the example to my clients, and I want to go over it first to set an expectation of what that's really going to be like. And Lord forbid it happened. It doesn't happen. But, you know, it's kind of, you know, you ever see that commercial where the agent's there shaking the hand with a guy, giving him a check for $400,000, and they're over the ashes of the house? You know, that's probably $1 million house right there. It's not like they just pay you out a check straight away. You know, they're going to make sure that they're going to give you what that house is worth on the spot, and then you have to go through an entire rebuild process, and then they'll give you the money at the end to make you fully reimbursed. And that's in most any policy situation, that's what you're looking at. So it's not like a car where they can look at the Blue Book value and say, here you go, you're done, and we call it good. But with a home, it's different. You need to rebuild that home in order to be made whole.
Well, right. And let's talk about it's not even just the sticks in the lumber that goes into the home. It's all the things you have inside.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, if close your eyes for a minute and actually just like name everything in your family room or every item in your kitchen drawers. Like, can you name every item in your kitchen drawer? Because there are things that you have bought over decades sometimes, or hand-me-downs or different things that you forgot you had.
Well, it's tough because, I mean, right now I'm here to talk about Medicare more than anything because it is pertinent, but these fires made this exceptionally pertinent right now too. You know, well, not to just switch gears to personal lines.
Yeah, and I'm going to – this will all come together. You'll see. I have a plan, but you have to listen today, gang. So, like, now this is like the plug where I go, you got to check out our podcast to get all of this because insurance is – there's layers of it, right? So we've established first the first layer of – insurance is for things prior to when they happen, okay? But what is the basic concept of insurance? It's this transfer of risk, okay? And remember, when it comes to risk, we assume risks all the time. Every time you get in the car, you assume a certain amount of risk, but you're also supposed to have transferred a certain amount of risk, right?
Yeah.
You know?
What?
Well, think about it. The assumption of risks is I know that physically I could get hurt if I'm in an accident, right? Like, there's a danger in riding in a car. It's
true.
It's very measured, and it's pretty – we accept a lot of it because, well, we have really good defined rules, and most people play by them generally. And then we also have mandatory insurance, supposedly, right? People do illegally drive without insurance, but you're supposed to have coverage so that if you damage things or hurt people, there's an available pool of resources to help make them whole.
Right.
Okay, that's how it's supposed to work. But there's this assumption of risk and a transfer of risk, and in a sense, a sharing of risk because everybody's required to buy the insurance, right? And when you don't buy the insurance, you know what you're doing? You're cheating everybody else too.
Which is not very nice, to be honest.
You kind of suck.
And isn't it always the people that don't have insurance that end up having like five accidents in one street?
Sadly, that tends to be what happens. I mean, it's built into your premiums and such, and it's all done through zip codes and where you live.
Well, that's the thing.
There's a lot of factors that go into it.
It's always, this is the universal insurance concept. The people that don't pay for insurance just make it more expensive for everybody else, which is part of why I'm kind of okay with, well, there should be more consequences if you don't carry the insurance, right? But that's a whole separate issue. The bottom line is this. The idea is that we assume some risks in life. We just know that they're going to happen. And that's also the reason that your insurance doesn't start at zero. You have a deductible, right? Some of it, like, oh, fender bender. You know what? It's cheaper for me to fix it myself than to take it to insurance. But, oh, total loss of vehicle. That's what the insurance is for, right? I assumed some risk, and then I shared some risk with the insurance company too. That's how this stuff works in general. But, you know, here's the weird thing, because I want to talk about health insurance and Medicare. They play by special rules. You know what they are?
You're going to tell us.
I am after the break. We got to. So we'll do that. And when we come back, remember, you guys got to do the podcast thing because we're going to have all of this. But we're going to talk about why is Medicare unique and not like your property and casualty or your auto insurance. That and a bunch more when we come back. This is David Littlejohn.
And Katie Shook.
And Scott Littlejohn.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 1240.
KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hey, gang, welcome back to The True Wealth Show. I am your host, David Littlejohn. In studio today with me, as often,
mostly, Katie, most of the time. I know it's really hard to get rid of me.
Well,
Katie.
You know what? Because we all have lives where if it's only a Tuesday, there are times when I'm on the road or something. But also, in studio today, Mr. Scott Littlejohn.
Yes.
And strangely enough, Yes, we are related. Yes, this is nepotism. No, I don't care, because you know why? Scott works in the field of insurance, and he has brokerage components, and so he's like, you know, and he's a great resource. And we're not pitching anything today. We're educating. Okay.
Well, Dave may not pitch anything, but I might.
Okay, Scott will pitch stuff. I'm educating today, and we're talking about, you know, why do we care about insurance? There's so much that's relevant here. Remember that a financial plan and your journey to building wealth is, there's all of these minefields along the way. There's all of these pitfalls and things that can get in the way. And those risks, some of them you just have to accept as part of the game. Some of them, though, you can transfer to other people like insurance companies that can help to share the risk. And we're going to talk about risk management and why it's relevant. Okay, this is totally part of your financial strategy. It is mission critical to a successful long-term financial plan. Critical. So at the beginning of time, where did insurance even come from?
Well, yeah, I'll kind of take it back to the beginning. The whole concept of insurance started with ships going back and forth between, you know, Great Britain and Europe and the New World.
The oceans.
So it started with ships going across the ocean. And what would happen is, if a ship went across and they came across rough seas, in order to steady the boat, they would throw some of the shipment over. And so someone could go have their shipment on the way and be the one to lose it. And while everybody else has made it over, they didn't get paid on whatever they had on that boat. And so a company called Lloyd's of London, which is the oldest insurance company in the world.
Still in existence today.
They insure everything if you want to do your legs or any, you know,
specialty
any of that stuff.
Yeah.
They do, like, they do it all.
Football players' hair. All right.
They will do that. So, but anyway, this company, Lloyd's of London, came up with this idea that, hey, well, if everybody chips in just a little bit, then if something bad happens at sea and somebody's shipment goes over, then we can all take what you guys chipped in and make that person whole on what they would have gotten if the ship had made it there. And that was the whole idea behind insurance, was that everybody chips in a little bit to take care of the one person who comes across a really bad luck situation.
Yeah, it's a distribution of risk by everybody chipping in. And then the concept being that not everybody experiences the risk simultaneously. Now, if the whole ship is lost, it's a problem, right?
But well, it depends on how many ships you got going.
Yes. See, and that's the trick, right?
Look at that. Well fed, sir. Well fed.
One of the elements that is required for successful insurance is you need to have a broadly diversified risk pool. Okay? This is also why it's really expensive for specialty insurance, right? A classic concert pianist can insure their hands, and it can be exotically expensive because you're not sharing the risk with a lot of people, right? Well,
you see that, like, let's say you've got a college athlete, you know, who
sure.
is, am I going to go pro or am I going to stay one more year in school? And what they'll do is they'll take an insurance policy out on their knees and legs and whatever in case if they do get hurt, that they can cash in that policy to get paid as if they were a pro, you know, at least a portion of that, so that they can still get what the value that they have
right.
themselves.
See,
on.
Things you didn't know about insurance. I didn't know that.
You can do,
but you got to be pretty good.
You can insure just about anything,
well, and you got to be willing to pay for it.
And it'll cost. What it goes through is a process with it called an actuarial. So the actuarial will put the. They'll basically run the equation of, hey, how much do we need to collect in order against this, to weigh this risk out in order to make it worth it to us and worth it, you know, affordable to the insured who's actually going to try and buy this policy.
And this process is super important. I'm not going to hijack where you're going with this, but I'm going to make a mention of something for our listeners. I have said this before on the program, and I will stick behind this, right? This is not a political shot, but this is a recognition. The pension plans for many government programs had failed actuarial assumptions. What it means is the actuary originally designed the program with certain things in mind, but those things have since changed, but the program didn't change to accommodate them. And now the program doesn't have enough funding to meet the commitments they made.
So, for example, if the average lifespan of a person back then was 72 years old and now it's 76 years old, the average participant is now living
four years
extra, which means it's 4 years worth more of pension payments, so it's less money in the bucket
still. And we have seen this in everything from Social Security to Oregon or California PERS, and you see it in the private sector as well. I'm not saying that it's only in the public sector, but failed actuarial assumptions make things problematic. Sometimes it can be to the consumer's benefit. I have seen scenarios in my career where insurance products that were financial instruments were designed and they got the assumptions wrong, and it benefited the customer, not the insurance company.
Oh, interesting.
It can happen. Those loops close really quick.
As an example.
All right, I'll give you this real life example. There was a company called American Scandia. It was later purchased by Prudential. American Scandia had an annuity product with a guaranteed living benefit. And that living benefit guaranteed that regardless of contract value, you could take a certain annual distribution from that contract, regardless of the value in the contract. So the markets tanked in 2008, but for something like 40 basis points of insurance rider value, they would guarantee you a 7% annual distribution from that account. So imagine a $100,000 account that falls to $50,000. You're allowed to take $7,000 a year out of that account for the rest of your life. You could spend all the money you had in it, and they had to keep paying you.
Yeah, someone got fired over that.
That's a real contract. It still exists.
No. Multiple people got fired over
that. A lot of people got fired over that one.
You can't buy that anymore. Right?
You can't
get it anymore. Which
is why this is not investment advice.
It's kind of like PERS Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3.
Correct.
They had to make changes because the actuarial messed up and guaranteed 7% to everybody, no matter what the market conditions
were. Talk about that you go based on the information that you have at the time. Did they really mess up, or did the conditions change?
Was it both?
No, it's both because...
It's both.
They messed up because the assumptions for rates of return in the 80s and 90s.
Oh, they were really high.
Yeah.
But they weren't anticipating a crash.
You're anticipating 8% annualized returns in your account, and then you go through a period from 1999 to 2009 where the S&P 500 was actually negative for 10 years.
Yeah.
Yet you
that
have a guarantee.
Messed up your equation.
Right. It didn't build in any bad. It only built in the good.
Yes. And it made the guarantees, and a lot of people figured it out. And here's other things they did. We'll take your highest 3 years of service. So somebody could have worked part-time just enough to be eligible for PERS, and then at the end of their career,
they go full-time
for 3 or 4 years, bump their salary way up, and then lock in a pension for life that really doesn't reflect the contribution amounts that they were able to put in, but they still get the benefit.
Right.
So these are little holes in the system that people have exploited, and I don't fault them for exploiting them. I just say the actuaries messed up when they designed the program.
Right.
Which, speaking of other programs, I'm going to swing it back around to the Medicare program.
Okay, so good. So let's talk about it. So Medicare's not actually pure insurance, though. So we're going to let's talk about that and why it's like, why our listeners, you guys care, because like some of you out there, you're like, yeah, Medicare is like now for me, or you're in it, or you're about to be in it. So let's do. I know you're dying to get there.
It was not even a subtle transition.
You're just like, you know
Medicare.
What? Let's just do a hard cut.
All right. So there we go. So Medicare is a system that is essentially designed for folks who are 65 or older or have been disabled for more than 2 years on full disability. So what happens is you qualify for Medicare by paying your taxes on your paycheck. As you see, there's Social Security that comes out of your paycheck, or there's a Medicare portion that comes out of your paycheck.
It's what, 2.3%? But it's uncapped. It's like all of the money you earn.
It's a percentage of your paycheck that goes into that pool. And so what happens is you have to put into that pool for at least 40 quarters in your lifetime to be eligible. Okay, 10 years to be eligible for Medicare. And if you're married to a spouse, then that automatically makes them eligible because you're married at that time as well. So by filling this pool, for the Medicare financial pool, for 10 years, it allows for the government, which manages that pool, to kick in to a portion of it because it's broken up into two parts. There's a Part A and a Part B. And these are great letters because they're the first two of the alphabet. But they're also great because...
Because now you have to memorize stuff.
I get
stuff
to
that
explain them to people who
sense.
Really
yeah.
don't. Who it can be complicated, but it's somewhat complicated. But it's explainable too at a certain level. Okay. So there's Part A, which is what the government pays on your behalf for your insurance, and that's from the Medicare pool. The Part B portion is your portion that you would pay towards your Medicare insurance. So you can have what's called Original Medicare, which is simply an 80-20 split when you go into the hospital or some place that takes Original Medicare, which is typically the hospital. So you're going to get a bill. The government is going to pay 80% of it with your Part A, and you're going to be responsible for 20% of that bill. And there's no cap on the expenses. There's no out-of-pocket max that goes with that. So
whatever,
if you have a $100,000 bill, you're going to end up paying $20,000. There's no caps on that. And so what they've done is they've designed, and this, bear in mind, this doesn't cover any of your prescription costs between your Part A and your Part B. And that's why the typical definition is that Part A is for your hospital expenses and Part B are for your doctors and service expenses, because most doctors will not bill just Original Medicare because it's kind of difficult to do. Right. And that's why it's really left up to the hospitals.
And that's how I've always explained it too, is like Part A, hospital.
Right? Exactly.
I mean, like if you're in the hospital, that's the part they're billing.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you'll
part
find
B,
a doctor who can do
doctor's
it.
Office.
It's
yeah.
rare that a doctor's yeah, office so is going to cover with Part A.
Yeah, you don't usually go to the hospital for like your checkups,
yeah.
right?
So,
and so your maintenance stuff is going to go through Part B, which is theoretically optional, but penalized if you don't get it.
Yes, more or less. Because what happens is you actually pay your Part B cost, because all that money you've been shipping in through your paycheck over the years, over those 10
which
years
is
or more.
2.9% total, 1.45% for you, and then your employer matches 1.45% as well.
So the money from that pool picks up 80%, and you, if you choose to take your Part B, which most people do once they hit 65, is $144.60 that's on a monthly basis that gets paid. You can pay that yourself, or it will come straight out of your Social Security benefit. And a lot of people try to say, okay, you know, you don't pay anything for Part B, but really you're paying for it. And
you're
it
just
ends
prepaying
up,
it and you don't see it.
Yeah, it's
you
coming
it.
Out
it's
of your.
It's being debited from your
debited
Social
from
Security.
Your Social Security. And so it comes off of your Social Security benefit.
Right, mental accounting, right?
So
if I don't see it, it doesn't
exist.
So between
those two, the Part A and the Part B, that makes up 100% of what would be considered a premium. And so when you see these plans out there, there's two different kind of directions you can go. Well, really three. If you take Original Medicare, or you can take what's called a Medicare Advantage plan, or you can take what's called a Medicare Supplement plan, or Medigap. And I'm going to explain what those things are.
But let's do this. People, yeah, all right, Dale's nailed this thing. We're going to do the break, right? And then when we come back, if you want to know, like, which plan, how they work, and all that, some interesting new stuff to consider, especially for us here in Douglas County. So we'll cover that more when we come back. This is David Littlejohn.
And Katie Shuck.
And Scott Littlejohn.
And you're listening to True Wealth on News Radio 1240.
KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240, KQEN.
Hey, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Show. This is your host, David Littlejohn. In studio today
is Katie Shuck.
And Scott Littlejohn.
And I'm going to tell you, we are covering ground. If you were just joining us, you're going to want to check out the podcast. You can go to littlejohnfs.com. It'll be posted probably first thing tomorrow. But we're covering, for many of you that are listening, some of you, you're going to kind of go, yawn. Look, if you want to know why the podcast is relevant, look, we're talking about why you actually care about insurance. I don't expect you to like it, but I expect you to care because it's mission critical for risk management and a successful financial plan. But for you that have been listening, I have asked Scott to join us today because we are into a critical period for Medicare. And many of you listening are either already enrolled or getting near enrollment time. And you need to know how this stuff works. And here's the beauty of this, right? You guys see it, you know, once. Scott gets to see this all the time. So he's pretty well versed in this stuff. And so I was hoping, can you break down, you know, there's options for folks. And how does this work? Because it's not like, oh, you get Medicare and you're done. There's all these options that go with it.
It's the alphabet soup of Medicare.
It pretty much is. Yeah, there's a lot of different, you know, it changes yearly. Like I said, we were just talking before. There's essentially three routes you can go. Original Medicare, which we spoke about last segment.
That's like Part A and B.
Basically taking Part A, not dealing with Part B, and paying 80-20 on everything you do.
Okay, that's very traditional, what we call an indemnity plan.
Original,
right?
Medicare.
That's like the base anything. Like, well, if I'm really bad, I can go to the hospital.
I believe it's a lousy idea because it's uncapped. You have unlimited risk.
Yeah, I mean,
in
if
that
you've
scenario.
Seen a hospital bill,
lately,
it probably
$800
is worth it to
aspirin?
Pick up the Part B and go the extra
mile for
this. I
didn't get full coverage, and I had a heart surgery, and it was $140,000. Yeah. They pay 80%, I pay 20.
So
guess
if
what?
If you're in a position
your
to handle that,
$28,000 bill.
That's great. You saved $144 a month. If you have been on Obamacare, the marketplace stuff coming into this, your premiums, if you've been paying for those, get ready for a much better experience once you get to Medicare.
Yeah, a lot more affordable.
So instead of original Medicare, you can either choose two roads to go to. When you turn 65, you get what's called a 7-month window for your, it's your original election period. It's the first time you're eligible.
Yeah,
it's 3 months before your birthday
launch.
Month.
Yeah.
It's a 7-month window, 3 months before your birth month, and then 3 months after that. If you get it done within that time frame, you don't have any penalties or anything that can hit you on the back end if you try and get to this stuff later.
Right. That's a long time.
It's a big window. The problem is that people will let it slide and then they run out of time. So you know, if you don't stay on this, you can miss it. I want to just touch briefly on the penalty thing and clarify. With Part B Medicare, you've got this price that's sort of locked in. If you don't take it and you want it later, it will cost more. That's sort of the
It's concept. Actually the Part D is what costs more.
That's why I have
alphabet soup.
Your prescriptions will cost more. What he's talking about is there's a penalty that goes if you don't sign up during that first 7-month window for a plan, but also a plan that includes your prescription drug coverage. Every month past that third month after your birth window, is every month that you wait beyond that, they're going to add a 1% penalty to the second lowest price prescription plan in your area that will be on your premium for the life that you for the rest of your life.
Ew.
So if you go, let's say you
right.
wait,
it's
you
expensive.
Wait a year past that, and you're like, "Well, I don't want prescriptions now. I don't need this stuff," and you just take original Medicare and you don't worry about a prescription plan, and then you need one a year later, you're going to have a 12% multiplier on top of your premium that you
forever
pay for the rest of your life.
Now, wait a minute, because what happens if you go into Medicare and you aren't on medications?
Well, that's the thing. A lot of people will take a Medicare Advantage plan because it includes the prescription drug coverage with it. And you see a lot of ads out there saying zero premium plan, zero premium plan. What that means is that between the Part A coverage that the government pays that you paid into and the Part B coverage that you're paying for $144.60 a month, that between that amount of money, a private insurance company like a Regents Blue Cross or a Health Net or, you know, Atrio,
one of those,
they are betting that between that money, that they can do exactly what they say they can do and not charge any additional premium to it. And they can give you a plan that offers not only what original Medicare would have to cover by law, because by law there are certain procedures and all types of medical things that have to be covered under original Medicare, but they can offer more than that. They put them, I call them nickel dimer benefits. So like they may have massage therapy benefit.
Or chiropractic,
or acupuncture, or they have preventive dental in there, and they might put some vision credits in there so you can get some new glasses or get all these little nickel dimer benefits on top of what anything original Medicare should cover, and they can throw in your prescription benefits on there as well. So they can put that all into one package, and Medicare Advantage is called Part C, and it will cover essentially anything that Part A or B would cover and Part D, which is your prescription drug coverage.
Wow, see, alphabet soup. I wasn't lying about the alphabet soup.
It kind of gets a little weird.
Well, I have
but
to
yes.
say, it's actually easier to see a visual totally. Than to do this on the radio, because alphabet soup is frustrating. But it's just figure A plus B plus D is
equals
C, right? That's the math.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, and it depends, because in Roseburg, you know, in Douglas County, for 2021, there's 19 available Medicare Advantage plans, and not all of them include prescription drug benefits.
Interesting.
So,
right. So
a lot of them,
19 so combinations.
I know
you will.
We've got a VA hospital here.
Yes.
A lot of folks have VA coverage that includes prescription drugs. So some plans will be built with that in mind, to where they can offer more services that would be covered under Part A and Part B, and leave out the prescriptions and leave somebody a plan that's considered credible. Because that's the big name, is if you have insurance, it has to be credible.
Meaning it
meets
the qualifications.
It meets the guidelines. It's good enough
but
to
again,
standard.
We're setting the bar low, not high, yeah. right?
Well, it's got to be meet government standards of being good enough. And every year they'll mail you out a letter that says if you have credible coverage or not. So, like, if you have group coverage and you're over 65 and your employer is paying for that group coverage, you might want to keep that. And they'll send you a letter of credible coverage every year. And you're not going to be penalized when you fall off of your group
yeah,
coverage.
That means that 1% per month doesn't
would not
roll up, because your employer is essentially filling the role that you would have had to have paid for out of pocket.
So,
got
yeah,
it.
Exactly. So your 7-month window starts the date when you retire. It'll start that month as your period to sign up. So you're not going to get penalized for staying on your group plan through your employer. And if it makes more sense for you to do that, that's great. But you'll still want to sign up for your Part A coverage, because there's no at your 65 window, because there's no penalty for doing that. And it doesn't cost you anything
right. And
to
your
do that
employer
as well.
Typically will require that.
Yes.
Because what they want to do, and this is, we're getting a little in the weeds here, but they want to do what they call coordinated coverage. It's where you have double coverage, and so then the two insurers
can
cooperate to figure out how much to pay. But it just means you as insured gets more coverage, right?
It's not a bad deal.
It's like belt and suspenders.
Yeah. You know, they work hand in hand, and it's not a bad thing, and it's great if your group is still covering you in
right.
that type of scenario. But for those who are not, and you're going into the 65, during this 7-month window, you get a choice between Medicare Advantage or what's called Medigap, or a supplement type policy.
Yeah, but now this is like a fork in the road, isn't
it? Yeah,
it
is.
You get a choice, but once you make this choice.
If you guys could see me in here, you know, I'm using my hands a lot, because I typically show somebody, I consider myself an educator with this and not a salesperson. You know, I'm a broker. I represent most all the carriers. And so it's about figuring out what works for my clients. But what works for them is at 65, you get a choice to go down the road of Medicare Advantage or the road of Medigap supplement coverage. And the way that works is, between, you know, in either scenario, you're going to have to pick, you know, apply for Part A and enroll in that, and you're going to have to pay Part B, whether in either of those scenarios. But a Medigap plan is, I call it kind of managed care. So essentially, if you can have a $0 plan that goes with a Medicare Advantage plan, those are a lot like traditional health insurance. You have an out-of-pocket max, you have co-pays, you have expenses that go along with that. Whereas when you go into a Medigap plan, you can get all those letters, like you've heard of a Part F or a Part G. Or,
yeah.
Well, you can't get a Part F anymore if you're
65. The Medigaps are sort
now,
of the, they were the original
yeah.
supplemental plans. So you got your Medicare A and B, and then you wanted to stack other benefits on. You could do these different Medigap plans that were parts A through F, right? And each one of them sort of added more benefits.
There's a number of letters, and they all have different categories that they'll fit. So the certain letters will cover certain expenses at a certain percentage. The
yeah.
one that was always considered the Cadillac plan was always a F letter plan. And what happened is at the beginning of 2020, if you weren't 65 by then and had one already, you're not able to get an F anymore if you're aging in now. You can get what's called a G
plan. I can think of all kinds of jokes where they just un-F'd you.
They just totally.
Oh, come on.
I know. But don't worry. Those who have an F already, you're grandfathered into that. You
yeah.
can continue to fail. I mean, to have an F. And you can. And what happens is, in Oregon, during your birth month, the way it works is called the birthday rule. Is you can, if you're on a supplement, you can switch that during your birthday month. Within 30 days of your actual birthday, each year, you get a chance to move from one carrier to the next. But I'm going to explain a bit more about these Medigap plans and how they work. You know, because if Medicare Advantage is a kind of traditional style where you have copays, out-of-pocket max, you have copays for your prescriptions and such, Medigap's a bit different. You're paying a higher premium, and you've got some other things that go along with that that make the coverage. But I'm going to turn it to Dave here to.
All right, so let's take our last break. Okay, we'll do that. When we come back, we'll take a few minutes and we'll just help folks. Again, if you're making this decision, you've got this path to go down, and we'll talk about some of the pros and cons here. But we got to grab this last break. So stick around. This is Dave Littlejohn.
And Katie Shook.
And Scott Littlejohn.
And you're listening to True Wealth on News Radio 1240.
KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hey, gang. Welcome back to the home stretch of the True Wealth Show. Covered tons of ground today, and we are, you know, in a very complex topic that's very relevant for many of you out there, Medicare. So joining Katie and I in studio today is Scott Littlejohn, and you have been explaining to our listeners just this myriad of options that they have to choose from.
Yeah, you know, normally, you know, when I help people to do this, I try not to go too far in the sticks. Sometimes I kind of make the mistake and do, but I always want to make sure that they end up in the right spot for themselves. And so really, like I was saying, the Medigap versus the Medicare Advantage, you know, that's a big choice, because the biggest factor you have going in is that there's no medical underwriting when you're in that 7-month window that we're talking about.
That's magic, by the way.
Which is a big deal.
Yeah, no pre-existing conditions, nothing. It's like if you show up and you sign the paperwork, you get coverage.
Exactly. It's just a sign-up form. As long as you have been paying your Medicare taxes and you, because when you sign up for your Part A, you go through the Social Security office to do it first. And then they send you your card, and then you come and see me. And then when I talk to my clients, I explain the two-road system. And Medigap is essentially, you're going to pay a premium on this that may be kind of expensive, you know, maybe $160, $200 for that monthly premium. But what it does is that it allows for anything you go in that's medically covered under original Medicare, as long as you pay that premium and the deductible that goes with that plan, and maybe $150, $160. Once that's paid, as long as you pay the premium, anything you go in and out of the hospital, it's typically going to be picked up. You won't see bills for that. And that's what's really great about Medigap.
So to me, the bottom line on this is there's a lot of options. And you really, if you don't know what you're doing, because I've already learned like a handful of things just by you kind of explaining them today that I didn't know already. Now, I'm not 65 and going into Medicare, but if I feel that way, I know there's other listeners out there that feel that way too. And that's why it's important to work with a pro, somebody who understands all the ins and outs of the program.
Well, and that's the thing. It doesn't cost you any money to do this.
How does that not cost somebody
anything?
Because
what happens, you know, because there's a lot of money flowing around through here, the agents are paid on a commission basis. At least I'm paid on a commission basis.
But it's not by the client.
It's by the insurance company.
Right. It's so,
and that's important,
well,
by the way.
This is also part of the way insurance law works, is that when a plan is approved in the state, that is the cost. So if you go direct online, then the online resource is your agent or your broker. So you're self-serving, but the cost is no different than if you go through an agent and get their help.
Right.
Because the plan is approved at that price point.
Because the plan is the plan,
right.
Whether it's
exactly.
Online or in person.
Right. So that's why we talked about this with life insurance, right? You can go to get life insurance through an agent, or you can go through an online service. And it's really the same company plans, because they're approved at each state has its own insurance commissioner. So each state gets its own block of plans.
I mean, that's one of the smartest things you can honestly do, is go talk to an agent or a broker about this, because it doesn't cost you any money to do this, but you get to get the educational experience and not have to learn the whole thing yourself,
right?
But you have someone who can guide you through this process, who the plan takes care of taking care of them, and you don't have to pay them for it. You're going to pay the same price regardless on those plans. And like in Douglas County, you've got 19 different Medicare Advantage plans to choose
from. Yeah, there's new ones this year, right? You said they've added more?
What they've added this year, you've got 4 different carriers down here. You've got, you know, gosh, I can't remember.
The bottom line comes to it is you don't know. You just don't know what you don't know.
Well,
right?
A lot
and
of it comes down to who accepts
questions.
That insurance company. You know, have you ever gone to the in and out of network and those kind of things that go along with it? These plans are set up specifically, and you really it kind of takes someone who knows them really well to take you through the process to explain what might work best for you.
What I like about this is there's a consultative approach, and I think it aligns with the concept of both True Wealth for this program, but also how we like to operate our firm when planning is. You know, everybody's circumstance is unique, right? If you're taking specific drugs, you may be able to look at the list of drugs that a different carrier covers and what tier and do some cost optimization, right?
Oh, totally. That's one of the largest parts about it is figuring out what your, you know, when you go in to see your agent, let's say you're going to bring in your Medicare card and you're going to bring in a list of your medications and your doctors.
If you're listening, you should bring in a list of medications.
Please bring that in. You're only helping yourself.
Scott is
in doing
giving
that.
You the book on what to bring with you.
And I mean, you can call them, and we're in such a strange time with whole COVID, and everybody's afraid to either see you. You know, a lot of agents have set up ways to connect with you online. I know I've tried to do that, whether it's Zoom meetings or over the phone or whatever that
FaceTime.
Are you
or
still
whatever.
Meeting
FaceTime
in person?
I'm still meeting in person. I that's one of my favorite parts about this is the generation who's in this tend to really appreciate your help when you're there. It's one of the more
it's the person to person.
It's actually
touch
a rewarding
to
experience when you know you've taken someone through this, and it's probably my favorite product to sell is the Medicare stuff.
Yeah.
Just because you kind of see the relief in someone's face when you've taken them through and they know that you know they're in a good place and you've done your due diligence to get them through that. And it just, you know, the program's difficult to navigate. You know, figuring out Part A and Part B and how that plan goes, it's really, to me, it's about, as with David, you set up a plan and you have a game plan with how you're going to approach this, and you want to know enough about someone's health to make sure you're putting them in the right place. And it's
important.
Tough to
your
do
health
yourself
is something
to get through
that is hard to fix later.
I say to people a lot, the benefit of working with a professional like Scott is that, you know, he sees this all the time, and so you get to see it once, and then maybe, you know, once a year you get a little window where you can make certain modifications. But some things are harder to modify than others. But when you do it day in and day out, you learn the gotchas, you learn the system, you learn how to navigate it, and the more important is you learn how to explain it to somebody that they can understand it.
And a lot of it comes down to your there's things called extra help that you can qualify for if you're Medicaid eligible, depending on your financial situation, you could be fully subsidized. And there's ways to go through that to where maybe you're not even paying these premiums or they're paying your Part B premium for you, depending on
this is why pro is important.
Exactly. And so I like the little dangler that I hang out there is that it doesn't cost you. And so find somebody trusted. You know, Scott's on the radio. He's my brother, and we've already established there's nepotism. I'm going to so you can give out your phone number, right?
Sure. Give me a buzz. 541-844-3434. That's the best number to catch me at. You can go to my website. It's littlejohnins.com.
Insurance, right?
Yeah, so we have Little John FS for financial services and Little John INS for insurance.
I mean,
so.
they're set up to do your own sign up if you want, but I am happy to help anybody get through this.
Cool. Well, look, you know, as you can tell, that is the music and we're out of time. I want to leave you with this important point. We're here to educate. If it's not one of us as a professional, find somebody that you can work with and trust to get this done. It's important. If you need more information, how do they reach us, Katie?
541-375-0898. Give us a call.
All right, gang. And remember, check out the podcast, tell a friend, and go share all this stuff. Until next time, this has been David Littlejohn.
And Katie Shook.
And Scott Littlejohn.
And you've been listening to True Wealth.
The preceding program was paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brooke Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.